Hit it.
Yeah, we're live.
Oh, okay. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Monday fun day.
It is not. Don't say that. It's actually supposed to be Sunday fun day.
Oh, it's supposed to be Sunday fun day?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Monday madness. Oh. What did I call it last week? Monday.
Lunacy. No.
Start with
Maddening Monday. I've been trying to convince myself Monday fun day for the longest because
it's never been Sunday fun day. I mean,
Monday fun day.
That's Sunday fun day.
Mm. Well, I try to say Monday fun day to try to make something out of the day.
Will, nobody goes, oh my gosh, it's Monday. How fun is this? Nobody says that.
That is true. I'm trying to.
I don't know where he got that, guys. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's my truth.
It's only your truth. That only.
That's my truth. And that's your truth. Okay. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining in. Again, if you want to give me a call about what we're talking about here, and you know what? Speaking of that, let me get the phone line going here. If you want to give me a call, the number is 319-527-3453. I'm going to repeat it here one more time. My producer should actually put it in the chat as well. So then that way you will see the number and I won't have to constantly repeat it and get people to, you know, write it down. But if you're ready to write it down again, here's the number, 319-527-3453. And I want to thank each and every one of you for chiming in and for being here today to hear this information. And of course, we have information that I can't share on Facebook or even on YouTube, but I can share it on Twitter. Hmm. Think about it. I can share it on Twitter. I can share it on Rumble. I can share it on Locals. I can share it just about everywhere else on the planet except for YouTube and Facebook. Imagine that. Why is that? But, you know, Twitter here recently because of Elon Musk purchasing Twitter, and he's all about free speech. And you know what, Shannon? I just saw a tweet from him just over this weekend saying starting today, Monday, that they will start reinstating some accounts that they have suspended in the past. So I haven't seen my account be reinstated yet, but hopefully here soon.
He's checking it all the time, guys. He's like,
yeah.
Is it there yet?
Is it there yet? But it's not there yet. So I'm being patient. You know, it's going to be really.
I have another Twitter profile.
I have another Twitter account, but that one, you know what? I really did.
How much did you have on the other one? Yeah, like 13,000?
Around 13,000, 14,000 before they deleted it.
Yeah, they took off a whole bunch of people too.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think it was like 12,000, but then they just suspended my account and didn't even tell me why. And it's interesting.
Have to tell you why. You always seem so surprised. Like you always go, I don't know why they did it.
Well, tell me what I did wrong.
I don't trigger anybody. Yeah, he's laughing now because he knows exactly what happened.
Are you telling me the liberals suspended my account because I triggered them?
That's exactly what happened.
How dare you trigger them? Hey, if telling the truth triggers you, then you need to be triggered. I'm just saying, if it's going to trigger
you, trolls them too. Don't get me wrong. He'll be on there, and he likes.
Well,
what is
especially
it?
When they put out all that racist rhetoric.
He follows all constantly these Democrat people or liberal people.
Oh my goodness!
Like,
yeah, and they keep saying, you know, the Republicans, white Republicans are racist, and I'm like, really? Give me an example. How many times have y'all seen white Republicans say you ain't black if you vote for?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't say anything mean, but they don't like what he does say. So, I'm sure he's been reported a couple of times. They probably got tired of you getting reported.
Yeah, and they kept saying, maybe that's what it was. And they said, this dude, he can't be black. You can't be black saying what you're saying. But anyways. Let's go on. So we actually have a lot to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about, of course, you know, I've been kind of like not saying too much on Facebook and even YouTube about the up and coming election. Reason
you can't
being
talk about elections. Too
yeah.
Much
I mean, cause
Facebook.
You know, the election, the actual true election deniers. Mm-hmm. They're deny. These are the same people that deny the truth. These are the same people that deny that a woman is the only beautiful species on the planet that can have children. Mm-hmm. They deny the fact that we're in a energy crisis. They deny the fact that we're having a food crisis. They deny the fact that we have open borders. They even deny the fact that we have crime. And these are all things that we see on a day-to-day basis. We see all of this stuff happening. And the Democrats deny that it's happening. Talking about the actual deniers. So we're on here. We want to talk about some of the election stuff because, of course, they're trying to make this connection already right now. And let's get with this first story.
Can I just give a few facts? First of all, we're 7 days away from election day.
7 days from election, seven from the day. From,
yeah.
7 days.
What are you going to label that day? Because that's not going to be a fun day.
Ooh.
Terrible Tuesday or Triumphant Tuesday?
Triumphant Tuesday. Yes, I like that one. Let's be positive.
Let's be positive.
You know, woo! And you know what? The Democrats are desperate right now.
Right.
They're extremely desperate.
So,
Wait a minute.
I just want to say how many people voted so far.
Where?
Just in general.
And the numbers that they have already.
Yeah, because a lot of states have started early voting.
I know Georgia is high at 1.5 million already.
Total early voting so far, 21 million people.
21 million people. How many of these people are dead? Hey, it's a valid question. So we get to ask, I'm just asking the question, how many of those people are actually dead? Right? Because the only reason why I say that, because there's been actually news articles that Planned Parenthood here in the state of Texas was just caught working with or doing fraudulent stuff with Robert Francis Rourke, aka Fake Mexican Beto, and it's allegedly that they're actually getting dead people to vote. Trying to get dead people to vote. See, they know if they don't cheat, they don't win. They know this. So they have to, they're like, all stops out. We got to get out. They believe that they have to cheat more now than they did in the 2020. They believe this now because we can't allow this to happen. We can't allow the Republicans to get both the House and the Senate. They're like, if they get both of them, we're through. They're panicking right now. They're panicking so much. What I call a love quarrel, they're calling a political hit. And I'm talking about San Francisco. Now, look, I'm just saying, to me, at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning.
He's talking about Paul Pelosi.
I'm just saying, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody in the underwear and a hammer. I'm just saying.
Well, Paul Pelosi, we understand why he'd be in his underwear.
But the other guy being in his underwear when the cops show up, I kind of question what was going on here.
To me, the only thing that's real fishy is, one, he didn't show up with any kind of a weapon, but yet...
Well, they said he showed up with tie wraps. That could be a little kinky, too.
Okay, listen. It's not a weapon, though. But they say his intention was to knock out Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps, but yet he didn't have any weapon. Like, how do you get over security, climb a wall, break in the back, and you don't have any kind of weapon?
You don't have anything.
That doesn't even make sense to me.
I guess he found a brick or something.
He's a little off. They say he is a little mentally. So, I don't know.
I'm just saying it's really questionable. But the reason why.
Even more crazier is if Biden had, or I'm sorry, if Paul Pelosi had a gun.
That would be crazy. Yeah, as much as they advocate against people owning
guns. But
that
didn't happen.
Yeah.
He had a hammer. I mean, and where would that hammer have been? That's so strange.
Ooh, that's just gross.
No, I'm just saying. He was in his bedroom.
I saw an x-ray where they showed a hammer
lodged. No, we're not doing that. Bleep. No, we're not doing that. I mean, it's just peculiar. The whole thing. Sounds weird.
Everything is questionable about it, right? Everything. You just look at this story, and automatically they came out talking about January 6th. Automatically.
Yeah, you know, the weirder the story, the bigger their lie becomes.
Yeah. Like it becomes, it's like they're so tacking huge on more and more and more, adding more to it.
Yeah.
I know. Let's just say this is January the 6th, 2.0.
Yeah, you know when you
he climbed the wall, he breached it, he knocked out the glass, and then they said the guy came in, where's Nancy?
You know, it gets more ridiculous, right? I mean, it's funny because, you know, when you tell a lie to your parents, like your lie becomes very extremely detailed. You have like all this big elaborate story and your parents are looking at you like, what?
Yeah, you got all of it planned out. Okay, this happened. The underwear, wait a minute, y'all need to stop talking about the underwear. You know how I first found out about the underwear? Danesta Souza.
You were there.
Nice.
I'm playing.
Nice, that's a good one though.
That's how guys would say, dude.
Yeah. Right. So, Danesta Souza put a thing on Twitter. And he was talking about, I understand how anybody in their own home, like right now, I could be on the radio just in another room where Shannon can't see me. I could be in my underwear.
He's not.
Because I'm in my own studio. There's no one here.
I mean, he's in his underwear, but he has other clothes on top of
them. TMI. TMI. Okay. But you know, like I could be in my, you know, my bedroom by myself, you know, whatever it is. You know, I might just have my underwear on, you know, if I'm by myself, I'm entitled. So just like Paul Pelosi, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, I can imagine he might be just be in his underwear, you know. But the other guy,
I'm sure
the other guy being in his underwear too.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean,
and that was on a news report before Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah, people were starting reporting.
Yeah,
and they were talking about allegedly, you know, that the other guy was in the underwear, and then they had to squash that story. So they wanted that. They had to push that out really, really good. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there. You know,
we were not there.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
It's just
but
a fishy story.
It's just, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning again. Come on, you know, you're gonna question it. You gotta question it.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons why I bring it up, because the liberal media right now, they're all saying that this has something to do with January the 6th. And come to find out, another story that the liberal media is trying to bury, they're trying to bury the fact that this dude was a total progressive. He's a total leftist. They're trying to bury that story.
Yeah.
Just like they buried the underwear story. They want to bury this story. And then they're talking about, well, Elon Musk tweeted out something that it might have been, you know, some other stuff going on at Pelosi's house. But they said he deleted the tweet. And then they say he was putting out fake information on Twitter.
I mean, this is, you know what? One thing that annoys me with the left is anytime somebody attacks a Democrat, it's a extreme right winger, and they take down their social media and everything. So there was two different papers that interviewed people that knew this David guy that attacked Paul Pelosi. This one lady, are you going to play the audio?
Yeah, I'll play the audio. I'm going to play the audio of the neighbor.
Neighbor of David.
Uh-huh.
And she paints a slightly different picture than a far right extremist conspiracy theory type person.
I mean, it's not even that. She's even painting a different picture than what the mainstream media is telling everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
The mainstream media is telling everybody that it is a right-wing extremist.
Yeah,
the liberal media is saying it's the MAGA party.
Yeah,
the right-wing media, or the left-wing media, sorry, the left-wing media is telling everybody that this happened because they ran ads talking about inflation, talking about the food crisis, talking about the open borders, talking about the endless amount of money going to Ukraine, the endless crime that we're seeing. They're saying because Republicans are running ads that this
and
is the reason why.
Pelosi's name.
Yeah, including Pelosi's name, because look what they've done to the country.
They're saying this person, whatever their candidate is aligned with Nancy Pelosi. The GOP is saying this person voted 99% with Pelosi or this person. So anyways.
Well, yeah. So they're saying because of the Republican ads that have been ran, they're saying that Republicans are going out and attacking people like Nancy Pelosi, her husband, et cetera, et cetera. And let me remind everybody that it was the Democrats. Remember Shucky Ducky Schumer? He said, Brett Kavanaugh, you're going to see the whirlwind, right? He threatened Brett Kavanaugh. Mad Maxine Waters threatened, Republicans. So they've been doing this all along. And then on top of that, let's not forget about all of these facilities that want to help women and not have abortions. Let's talk about these churches that have been attacked. They say nothing about that. But listen to the neighbor of the guy that showed up at Nancy Pelosi's home. And if you ask me, hey, I'm entitled to my opinion. This was a love triangle. I'm just saying. Maybe, and everyone keeps saying, what about the third person that was there?
What? There's no proof of a third person.
People have been saying it. But listen.
Okay.
Anything strange about him or anything that stood out?
There's something strange about the whole household. The entire household is very, very strange.
How about him?
He is birds of a feather with akin to them. So they are just, you know, nudist drug abusers, and that's who gravitates toward them.
And it's, the children who live there, they seem to be underage or under 18.
I'm not sure how old they are.
Okay.
And Trisha, again, what do you say their politics are?
I'm not sure. I would imagine that they're more left-leaning because of their support for the gay community and for... I'm sorry for other people, but it is now I'm not sure what way they lean because
they have the flag, the LGBT flag with the pot.
Yeah.
So. But any signs of anti-Semitism?
You know, they are completely unhinged, so I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah.
So what my question is, when I heard that, excuse me, anti-Semitism, again, this is liberal media right here trying to make a connection to right wingers. And it's not, and you know what? And it's those of us that are on the right, conservatives, Christians, Republicans, we're not the one that's anti-Semitic. Let me remind everybody, they're the ones with Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, who's been openly anti-Semitic. They're the ones, it's the Democrat Party that's been doing it. And it's just the whole point, the whole idea that they're asking him, did he say anything anti-Semitic showing up to Nancy Pelosi's home? Pelosi is much as a Jewish as Elizabeth Warren is an Indian. So why even ask that question? What does that got to do with anything?
I mean, I think it's interesting too that the media actually pointed out that they had an LGBT flag in front of their house.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, yeah, I see how you get to that point that they're more left leaning, right?
Yeah, they are left. He is left leaning.
Yeah.
And the liberal media said, well, you know, he has stuff on, you know, on social media talking about J6 and he talked about COVID.
We don't know that.
That's what they're saying, right? So they're out there pushing a narrative, literally lying to everybody who will absorb that nonsense and run with it. Because they know people are not going to, if they've taken this page down, there's no way for anybody else to validate it. So you have to take what we're saying.
Yeah, they can create whatever narrative they want.
They can create whatever narrative that they want. It's just really remarkable.
That woman also goes on to say that they've been pro-BLM. So that all sounds left-leaning.
Yeah. Actually, let me play that. So if you want to give us a call, the number is 319-527-3453. If you want to give
us
a call.
You don't
have to play it.
We'll just say it.
Because
also.
The reason why I was saying it, because she goes on to say that, you know, the guy that was in Nancy Pelosi's home is for BLM. Mm-hmm. But then the lady, the neighbor said that when Black people would do stuff, he would call the cops on the Black people.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's just a typical liberal.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's just a typical thing. If you see someone doing crime, I guess it would be like this. Well, if you see Black people doing a crime, you don't call the cops. But if you see white people doing the exact same crime, then you do call the cops. So then that way it's not racist.
You know, and another thing, this guy's from Canada. So that's a liberal flag right there.
Illegally here.
And illegally here.
Illegally here. Allegedly, he's here illegally too, right?
So that's another liberal flag.
So do they get green cards from Canada or do they get pink cards?
It's all green.
Okay, it's all green.
Why pink? Is that symbolizing something?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay,
but hey, let me play this other clip if I can. Okay, this one is on the Communist News Network when they're trying to make the connection with Nancy Pelosi's husband and Governor Whitmer, right? For everybody that don't know, Governor Whitmer, there was a plan to kidnap her. Come to find out, it was the FBI. All out and open now. No one disagrees. Well, yeah, no one disagrees, but they just don't talk about it. But listen to the Communist News Network as they try to make this connection with the guy showing up at Pelosi's home and January 6th and the Governor Whitmer. Listen.
I mean, it's just chilling.
Yeah, it's chilling and it's reminiscent of January 6th. This is the performative nature of the political violence that we're seeing now. It's you saw it with Governor Whitmer in Michigan. It is capturing, hogtying publicness of the violence. And so this is just exactly what we saw on January 6th. And so, as we know, the suspect was very much.
Listen to her. It's like she's trying to get her story straight. You know what? I when you listen to people talk like this, it's like, okay, this is how, let me get this lie together. Let me make sure it sounds, you know, plausible, at least sound plausible to get people to believe it. This is what's happening. I mean, listen to her. You can't even make this stuff up. She's trying to figure out.
Yeah, you can. They're making it up.
Yeah, they're making it up as they go along. But she's trying to lie to convince people that she's telling the truth. Listen.
We know the suspect was very much radicalized by the political discourse of the January 6th apparatus and those who would not apologize for it.
So where does that information come from? Where is that coming from? Where's the proof on it? Instead of just mouthing it off, show the proof of that.
I mean, who spoke out against Schumer when he said that we were going to do anything by, you know, any means necessary?
When he said nothing was off the table.
Nothing was off the table. What about Waters? Did anybody condemn what she said when she said, get out there and get in their
face? Get in their face. Approach
she said,
them.
Get in their home, in the restaurants, yep.
Wherever they are. She said, get in their faces, wherever they are.
Yeah. Kamala Harris, even after Trump was elected, how many of them came out and said, oh, these people, they're just out there doing their grievances.
Yeah.
They're just out there protesting, tearing down cities. They didn't
burning stuff because they were angry.
And it happened as soon as Trump's inauguration. There were fires and there was looting and there was chaos happening in D.C.
Yep. Yep.
That's when it all started,
yep.
Literally, from yep. The left.
Okay, listen to this. And then we got a phone call. We're going to go to the caller after this.
Okay.
And began to become radicalized, at least in the at least from the social media reports, so that he mimicked the January 6th attack to go after the person. We always talk about, of course, Paul Pelosi was the victim. The person he was looking for was Nancy Pelosi. She's second in line for the presidency, and every intention, it seems like, between a hammer and octopus and everything else to cause grave bodily harm, if not death.
So, again, they haven't shown any video footage, and it's hard for me to believe that them being multimillionaires, because he just invested $5 million into this chip thing, to the chip company, right? Before they passed the bill. So they're millionaires. They can't afford security cameras.
Oh, come on. They have
security. So where's the footage of it? Where's the proof of all of this?
She's so paranoid, especially after January 6th. Listen, let's take January 6th completely out of the picture. Give me something else that the Republicans have done that's been so violent, like the left has done with all their
protests. Saying that January 6th, you know, they had weapons there, they had guns, you know, they're all a complete lie. It's like they think that we're going to forget, you know, what actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We have a phone call here.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Steve. Steve from Florida. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Do we have Steve?
Nope. Steve? Guess not.
That might be my fault.
Oh, it may be Will's fault.
Yep. Hold on, Steve. Let me see if I can fix it. Give me a second, Steve. It's my fault. It's my fault. Go ahead. Let me see if I can fix it. Talk about this next story, and then while I'm fixing this.
Well, let's continue with the election. So right now there's an article on U.S. News, and it talks about how the Democrats are so desperate that they are even bringing President Barack Obama to Nevada. So we know that we just saw Barack Obama in Atlanta, Georgia with Stacey Abrams and Warnock. Those elections are really highly contended. They have not been doing really well in the polls. So they sent Barack Obama there. Then he went to Michigan to help Whitmer, right? And now he's headed to Nevada to help the first Latina senator in this one particular district that is now in jeopardy, basically what they're saying. It says Senator Catherine Cortez Masto is the first Latina to serve in the Senate representing the majority minority state with a 30% and growing Hispanic population. Those basic facts alone would be reason enough to assume that the first term Democrat would be back for a second term, right? Traditionally, they at least do a couple of terms, but no, she is one of the most highly contended Democrats right now in elections. Her name is Cortez Masto. She's in Nevada. So that is now where Obama is heading.
So Obama is going to Nevada now because they see a lot of Latinos not just walking away, but sprinting away from the Democrat Party.
Yes.
And you know what? It's not only happening in Nevada. It's happening here in Texas. Oh. Overwhelmingly. Happening in Arizona. Yeah. Overwhelmingly. It's happening even in California. Because you know what? People are sick and tired of the federal government, the liberal total tyrants, not doing what they should be doing.
Yeah. I mean, Latinos traditionally are about faith, family, and country, right? And so the registered Latinos, they're tired of the policies of the Democrat Party impacting their pockets.
And they're tired of being used.
And they're very traditional. They believe in traditional family values, which is very much against what the Democrats advocate for.
I think I have it fixed. Fingers crossed. Well, let's see if we can go to Steve from Florida now. Hey, you there, Steve?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
All right. Got it working. I do know how to push buttons, regardless of what Joe Biden says.
You ain't black.
So what do you got for us, Steve? Thanks for the call, too.
Okay, a couple of things here for you. First thing is, I know I can't talk you into running for Congress, but a gentleman wants to come on and do an interview with you that is going to run. His name is Eric Matthew Keenan. He does a lot of Facebook. You might know who I'm talking about.
I can't say that I do, but if you have his personal contact information, please
email it.
Please email it to us.
Is he running? Where's he running at? What state?
That would be Ohio.
Ohio. Okay.
So is he planning on running in 2024, or is he like actively running right now?
2024. He's talking about 2024, but both of us are big fans. And I said, you ought to go on the Will Johnson show, man. And I said, you know, I mean, he says, you know, I can't talk the man into, you know, stepping out of his little comfort zone and actually, you know, serving us like you should there, Will. So I got to get Eric to do it. So, you know,
that's a nice way to throw me under the bus.
Yeah. Right. I know. Huh?
I like it. I like it though. I like it.
No, dude, I've already told you, I'll follow you anywhere. If you'll run, I'll follow you anywhere. So don't hold that. Don't put it off on me, buddy.
No, you're good. You're good, Steve. You've always said that. And I've actually talked about it with my producer here and stuff. And as soon as I bring it up, she's like, no. And it's not because I have some baggage. You know what? I'll tell everyone my baggage. I mean, because that's who I am. Because I first and foremost, hey, I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes in the past. Great deal of mistakes that I'm not happy about. But you know what? I learned from them. So maybe I don't make him happen again.
I mean, maybe one day. I mean,
oh, that's a maybe now.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is a friend, right? And we've seen what's happened to her. And
it, yeah, it's just
huge
brutal
right now to take on that role. And I say God bless to everyone that is running. These women, these men that are stepping up, God bless them. Yep. Pray for them. Support them.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Steve?
Although my local congressman, you know, he's got a pretty good voting record, and I like him okay, you know. But what I told him, and he got mad at me for saying, you need to be more boisterous like Marjorie Taylor Greene, okay? And oh, that pissed him off, right? Something like you can't believe how
really
that pissed him off me. Yeah, and I said that's my hero. I mean, and I'm sorry. I donated to her campaign, and I've yet to donate to my local congressman.
You should have told him that. You should have told him that. And then you should have told him, say, you know what? I'm going to let other people know that I'm donating to Marjorie Taylor Greene and other representatives because they're actually speaking up. They're actually saying something. And if you don't say anything, I'm going to tell people not to donate to you, too.
Well, these days, everybody wants a representative that will fight for them since they can't be there and fight for themselves. So, you know, you have to be vocal. I mean, we want to see him out there.
Well, it's like I told my congressman. I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I got to say, with the Republicans, I'm kind of disappointed because if you notice, in the minority, Democrats get things done. All Republicans do is make excuses about why they can't get things done. And when they're in power, they don't get anything done.
Yeah, you know? It is frustrating. I suspect this time, Steve, permitting that, you know, there's no cheating, and the Republicans take both the House and Senate, I have a suspicion this time they're going to come in there differently because we actually have MAGA Republicans going into Congress.
Yeah,
now.
Well, listen, we've always depended on diplomacy, right? Let's do things right. Let's get everybody on. Let's do it. But the Democrats don't do it anymore. And so pretty much the only way you're going to beat them at their own game is to be like them.
Yeah, sadly.
Well, they have to start playing their own game. And that's kind of what I told him. I said, you know, they don't have rules. I mean,
that's true. We
play by the rules. And I said, it needs to stop, you know? I mean, I'm not trying to throw my congressman under the bus because he does have a good voting record.
Right.
You know, but
okay.
There's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with lighting a fire up under him.
Amen.
So I completely with you there.
Well, he didn't appreciate that. But still, this guy is wanting to run. He's getting serious. I got him. We've been talking about it. I've been telling him this for 4 years that we've been friends, and we met on Facebook, and we got to be big buddies, you know, and everything like that, you know, and done a few rallies and that, but I told him, I said, look, man, I just don't have the. I'd like to do it, but I'm not as articulate, and I'm not as damn cute as you are. So let's just face it, I would never go anywhere. You would. He's got a large Facebook following that I don't have, you know,
yeah.
But he's got a very good sense of humor.
Like I said, send email me. You do have my email, right?
No, I don't.
Okay,
have your
well,
email,
let me give it to you real quick because I'm gonna have to let you go because we got some other people on here. Let me give it to you real quick, okay?
Can you text it to me on my phone here?
I'll try.
It's real simple. It's contact@uniteamericafirst.com.
Okay, I'll write that down.
Contact@uniteamericafirst.com.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You want to contact, right? Send me contact information. contact@uniteamericafirst.com. Cool.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I told you I was going to take you to lunch one day, and it just didn't pan out me coming to Texas.
So, well, it's cool. It's cool. You know what? One day we'll meet up. So, hey, Steve, thanks so much for the call.
Tell you what, you meet up. I've got a gift that you're going to take to many rallies. Just I'm going to hold me at that. I've got a gift you're going to take.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
I'll give you a hint. It's got three wheels.
Okay. I'll think about it. All right. Take care.
It's a tricycle.
Take care. Okay. So we have another caller.
Okay. Let's take it.
We have another caller. Let's go to Debbie from Vegas. Hey, Debbie, thank you so much for the call.
Hey, I'm from Las Vegas, and Obama will be here Tuesday, but guess who else will be here Tuesday?
Who else is going to be there?
Mr. President Trump.
Really?
And I think it's basically a pissing contest between the two. Who could draw the most crowd? But if you're from Las Vegas, Mr. President Trump is doing endorsing Adam Laxalt, Joe Lombardo, and Mark Robinson.
Wow. So all of them going to show up in Vegas?
Yep. Vegas is going to be booming on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, because Friday is the last day of early voting.
Oh, wow.
Then y'all have to wait until November 8th if you didn't get in by then.
Wow.
Okay.
And I'm deciding whether I'm going to vote early or November 8th. What do you guys recommend?
I am waiting until November 8th.
Yep.
Me personally.
That's us.
Me personally.
Well, we want to give them the smackdown on that day.
Oh, yeah. You know, the biggest thing I want to tell you about Marie Cortez Master is she voted for men who put on lipstick to beat up women in sports.
Doesn't surprise me. Does not surprise me. Because that's the motto of the Democrat Party.
She voted for prisoners to get a stimulus check. And her vote was the deciding vote.
Wow. So she made it happen.
Yep, she made it happen.
That's just crazy.
Let's not forget, she voted against deportation of illegal aliens that commit a crime in the USA.
You know what? So let me ask you this. In Vegas, what is the atmosphere that you see between the Democrats and the Republicans, real quick? Do you see, when I'm talking about that, when you go out, do you see signs? What do you see?
I see it going back and forth. First, Adam Laxalt has the lead. Then she does. Then he does. It's like a ping pong table.
Yeah, so it's like everywhere else. You know, everything's a tight race. But it's going back and forth.
As Congress, I see Mark Robinson whipping Adina Titus's butt.
I can see that. Mark Robinson, you know, he's something else.
Yep.
Okay, think about this. She wants to take our guns away. Now, we live in the Silver State, ass kicking, riding horses, gunslinging, cowboys here.
Right.
Texas is not the only place that has that.
Nevada, oh, yeah, we know. Arizona, too. Arizona's open carry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some other states are, too.
Texas
anyways,
is one of them, too.
Yeah.
What? So we're not having it. Adina Titus is trying to put us in a nuclear war. She keeps voting for giving more money to Ukraine. And President Zelensky, which most people don't want to hear, he's killing his own citizens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's
I've heard multiple stories about that.
Yep,
I've heard multiple stories about that too. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Debbie, for the great call.
Yep. Hey, Debbie, thank
you
so much for the call.
Good luck there in Las Vegas.
Oh, yep. And happy Halloween. And you guys stay safe tonight. And
you
God
too.
Bless.
God bless.
Hey, Will.
Yes.
So apparently, your friend AOC actually posted a live video on Twitter with you and Marjorie Greene.
No.
You remember when you went to her office?
No.
So this young man is saying, I'm not judging, but the cut appears to look like you're teasing her from behind a locked door. Can you give some context?
I remember that. I remember
that.
It
was you, Ben, and Marjorie.
I was. You know what? Can I not tease her?
I mean, what's wrong with teasing?
Well, can I not tease her? I was saying, hey, can you come
she
out and talk to
her? She was mocking the people that came to her.
Yeah,
her
she mocked people. She had these kitty, you know, it was really childlike stuff on the outside of her thing. This is all before the pandemic.
And the reason why is she actually locked them out. She would not talk to them.
Yeah, because we were going to people's office space. Right. And this is before Marjorie Taylor Greene was even a representative. This is even before she even talked about even running for office. We were in there. We were walking the halls.
Does she have an office then?
No, before Marjorie Taylor Greene okay.
yeah, I was like,
had an
what,
office.
What? Yeah, before.
Right?
Yeah.
Just yeah. before Marjorie Taylor Greene had an office, we were in there.
Yeah, correct.
And yeah, I opened it up. I said, we know you're in there. Come, let, because they locked the door. They purposely locked the door. There, to my understanding, because every single congressperson that we went to their door, to their office, it was open.
Yeah, they're supposed to have an open door, be able to be available.
They purposely, they someone went in there and they purposely locked the door from what I remember. We was like, we know you're in there. Come talk to us.
Yeah.
We weren't violent. We weren't screaming. None of that. Because if they did, if we were doing any of that, acting like we're violent, they would have called the Capitol Police. Capitol Police never showed up because we were not being violent. Not like those on the left. I hope that answers your question. But that's what happened.
But see, that's see. Let me tell you what. That's what the problem today is. Is this is what the Democrats do? They take a narrative, right, that we're being harassed. We're being.
You're bullying
followed,
me. Right. You're bullying me because you're asking me questions that I don't want to answer.
Let me tell you what. How many times have they been? Will have the liberals been in those halls chasing down Republicans, spitting on them? Do you remember some of the hearings?
Oh yeah,
for the justices, especially Kavanaugh. The Republicans were getting spit on, yelled at. They had to have security, make sure they got home safe.
Yep.
I mean, they were doing all kinds of things. They just wanted to have a simple conversation. They did kind of tease her through the door, but it wasn't
so
anything
what?
Mean. I mean, give me
so
a break.
So what?
Yeah.
So what? They locked the door. Like, we know you're in there.
You
come talk to us.
Her like a child.
Yeah,
that's
exactly what we're doing. They had this child stuff on the outside. That's what it was all about. Talking about how the left, the liberal left, constantly try to mock Republicans and try to paint Republicans as the bad guys. They try to paint Republicans as we're the ones going out committing all this crime that we're seeing throughout the country. Let me remind y'all. The Summer of Love, y'all remember that? Surely you do. Surely you do. The Summer of Love, where they destroyed up to $1 billion in insurance policies. Think about that. $1 billion in insurance policies. Not only that, they took people's lives. They were killing people left and right. You had Kamala Harris saying, we'll bail you out. Continue. We'll bail you out. Continue with the violence. Don Sourpuss Lemon was on there saying, well, you know, they don't have a voice like I have a voice. They don't know what else to do. So they have to go out and destroy the country in order to get what they want heard. And their demand should be heard. See, they were sitting in the back watching while all the people out in the streets burning up stuff. And they were like, yes, yes, this is what we want. This
well,
is what we want.
It's interesting because now, because of Pelosi, and then, of course, last week they had it to where there was some ballot box watchers. Now poll workers are having to be trained for conflict, right? They're saying that poll watchers are in danger. Our democracy is in danger. And this is the new narrative now.
And guess by who?
That the Democrats are putting out there. They're saying that the Republicans
yep.
are being violent.
Yep. And it's not true.
Right. They're not. But listen, this is what happens when you truly do not address elections. Listen, it's been both sides now. The Hillary Clinton and them did it in 2016, denied their election, even though we did have a whole investigation for that, if you remember.
$42 million
it
later.
It all came back that it was a lie. But they never addressed the 2020 election. And so you now, that those feelings, if they are not resolved, people feel like there's still value to it because it was never resolved. We've seen more proof on the right side that something that there was some election hanky panky going
on. There was some election fraud going on. Look at all the mules. Look at the mules. Look at the video footage that came out before. We saw it. I'm just talking about what we all were privy to. I'm not making up something that wasn't there. And you have the liberal media saying there was absolutely nothing, not one instance. They've actually arrested people because of the election fraud, the stuff that they were doing, even here in the state of Texas and other places throughout the country. But the liberal media said none of that ever happened. They're blatantly lying. They're lying. You don't believe, you don't believe what you're seeing. Believe what I'm telling you. That's what they're telling us. This is crazy. You've all seen it. I'm willing to bet everyone is listening in right now. Live, while we're live right now, I bet you all of y'all have seen something about it right now. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. You've seen something. But they want you to believe that none of it happened. And so as a result, what they've done is they've taken it and said that, you know what? we have to suppress this information. We have to put out a lie, get everyone to believe that it's the Republicans that want to be violent. And guess what? I'm going to do a prediction here. I'm putting out a prediction. This is my it's just a prediction, okay, for everyone that's listening in right now. I predict, because of the writing that I see on the wall, the Republicans win the House and the Senate, and guess who they're going to blame? They're going to blame the MAGA Republicans, the violence, and the intimidation, along with Elon Musk.
And well, let me tell you something. Along with all this, do you know that the producer, one of the producers for 2000 and Mules, was just arrested today for contempt of court?
He was just arrested.
Yes. Listen to this story. Alabama native Greg Phillips has been arrested for contempt of court in Texas related to his work with the election integrity group True the Vote. On Monday, a federal judge found Phillips and True the Vote leader Catherine Engelbrecht in contempt of court for not giving up sources in an investigation into voter
fraud. They don't have to give up their sources.
The two will remain behind bars until they agree to release the names of those involved in their investigation.
Wow.
This is huge. It says the pair had been gathering information and sharing details of their findings concerning alleged irregularities in the 2020 election. The sharing of information led to the Houston, Texas courtroom last week with U.S. District Judge Kenneth Hoyt presiding.
This is sickening, because anyone who does a documentary, anyone who does citizen reporting, mainstream news reporting, when you have sources, you don't have to give your sources.
I mean, look at our politicians totally totalitarian. On the left. They always have whistleblowers that they can't divulge who they are.
And you know what? And they always bring out the hearsay.
The thing is they want to go after who had this information and who gave it to them.
Yep. They want to debunk it. They want to debunk it, even though
they want to hold them accountable and make sure that they stay silent.
Yeah. And because everyone who's seen this footage, they saw the vehicles going up to the ballot boxes multiple times. How many times do you go vote? I mean, how many times do you vote, Shannon, during an election?
Once?
Just once.
Yeah.
So why would give me a valid reason? You know, I would like to ask a liberal this. Give me a valid reason why a vehicle would show up to one of these ballot boxes 3 and 4 times a night. I would like to know the answer to that, right? Is there any? I know there's probably no liberals listening in on here. Maybe there are. And I was like, ooh, let's listen to see what Will Johnson is saying so we can try to get him. Let's get him for telling the truth. And then we go, well, that's not my truth. That's your truth.
So listen
to
this.
Stupid liberals.
So there's this guy. It's Kinect CEO Eugene Yu. Anyways, on True Social, they tweeted about Catherine, who is one of the producers, being basically mocked and ridiculed by the lawyers for calling teams of patriots. She answered with confidence and pride in her country. She didn't buckle. She stood against the abuse of her oppressors or the lawyers. I'm so proud to be her friend, her colleague, and her brother in Christ. That's what this guy named Greg Phillips tweeted.
These people are evil, because they find a communist federal liberal judge to put them in jail because they won't release the information so they can go and shut it down. Because this is the way I see it. They know that people that gathered this information in the last election, you know that they got it all set up right now. They got it all in place to monitor it, to watch it. They got it all right now. They got it set up. What's happening here is that this federal judge and the Democrats, they're trying to find out who these sources are so they can shut it down. They want to shut it down just 1 week out before the greatest midterm election in American history, and they want to shut it down to prevent them from actually having tangible proof of them doing fraudulent stuff. If anything, the judge should wash the movie. watch the documentary and be like, wow, this is interesting. This is interesting. If this is actually happening, it's my duty as a judge to make sure that this does not happen. Not at least in my state, my city, my district. But this judge is doing the opposite.
So what's happening is apparently there's this guy, he was a software owner of some software that they use. It's called Pull Chief Software that they used for election worker management system, right? It contains who the poll workers are and stuff. And I guess the people that did 2000 Mules had pointed out who they were and that they were selling some of this information to China. So he was trying to sue them before he was arrested for some other stuff. He was trying to sue the people of 2000 Mules for defamation, saying that they were lying about him and his software.
Giving it to China.
Yeah.
China.
And it wouldn't surprise me, because there's been other companies out there that we know have been working and probably handing stuff with the China. Look no further than Twitter, TikTok. President Trump was 100% correct about TikTok. He was 100% correct about TikTok.
With the bots, you mean? Or
TikTok spying on America. People that use TikTok is wide open for China to come in and get all your data, get all your information, everything.
And said Trump was right.
Yeah, they're saying Trump was right about that. So, you know, a lot of these companies, they don't like, oh, we don't want you saying that, even though it may be even true, right? I don't know. I didn't have privy to that information. But a lot of times, especially when it comes out really, really and it's true, you know, they want to shut it down. They want to shut it down. So let me play something else for you, if I can. This is them talking about Elon Musk. When I was talking about Elon Musk earlier, and that's why I said I made this prediction that they're going to blame Elon Musk because of Twitter, because you can go on Twitter and say you have free speech on Twitter. You can say anything. I don't think you can call for death. That's not free speech. That's, you know, calling death for somebody. You can't do that. Okay. They need to get you if you're doing that. Right. But you can say everything else. You can say, you know, as you can talk as bad as you want to about Will Johnson. You can anywhere, really. I mean, cause that's your free speech. To me, that's your free speech, even if I don't like it. But I'm willing to bet this election, they're going to say, because of Elon Musk allowing Republicans, conservatives, mega Republicans to go on Twitter and talk about different policies and talk about what the Democrats have been doing to the country is the reason, part of the reason why they will lose. But listen to what they say here in this clip about Elon Musk.
And Juliet, I want to talk about your tweet responding to Elon Musk. And just to set this up for our viewers, Elon Musk is now the new owner of Twitter. He appears to have deleted a tweet that was spreading a baseless conspiracy theory about what happened to Paul Pelosi. Musk initially tweeted that there was a tiny possibility that something else occurred. The fact that he deleted the tweet speaks volumes. You wrote that the tiny possibility, quoting him, of a counter-narrative for Paul Pelosi attack being pushed by Elon Musk is not because he believes it, but to create a storyline that does not implicate those who have embraced violence, just like the attack.
Yeah.
It comes from the January 6th playbook. What do you mean by all that?
Okay, before we go on. See, this is how they gear up the conspiracies themselves. And see, they have this title, Elon Musk tweets link to Paul Pelosi attack conspiracy theory. Right. They don't even have all the information and they're already out there telling everybody what happened and what didn't happen. They're lying. And I just want to play this really quick before we run out of time here, because I want y'all to hear this. This is how they're pushing this right now. And you know, if I play this on the Communist News Network, if I play this on Facebook or play it on YouTube, they'll probably take it down. I won't let people see it or hear it. But listen to this.
Well, I basically mean that those who have been for years inciting violence, nurturing it, and even not condemning it, the violence that is coming from the very small sliver, but nonetheless, the MAGA world, one supported by Trump, nurtured by Trump, directed by Trump, who could be the leader, the presidential nominee for that party. The failure to condemn it did not mean it went away. It meant that it grew. And so what happens now is that when the inevitable happens, you go after Nancy Pelosi, who is a hated figure in the right-wing blogosphere. When the inevitable comes true, they have to claim plausible deniability. And the only way that they can do that, because they've been nurturing and the violence, is to create a counter-narrative. So,
okay, wait a minute. Who's been nurturing the violence, Shannon? Let me remind you of Antifa, and let me remind you of BLM that's been going around taking lives and destroying so much throughout the country. Who's been nurturing violence here?
Oh, definitely the right.
The right's been nurturing violence?
I mean, I'm sorry. Definitely
the left. What they want you to say.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Definitely the left. I was thinking that they say it's the right, but yeah.
Yeah, they're blaming the right for something that they themselves are doing.
They do that. That's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just kind of curious. How many of y'all listening right now believe it? Everybody listening right now, how many of y'all believe that it's the right that's doing?
Even though Biden has ruined our economy.
Yep.
They're saying that when the Republicans get here, they're going to ruin the economy, which, by the way, it's going to get worse. Even if the Republicans in November win, we're going to still have a domino effect from what Biden has done. It's still going to hit us next year.
Especially with this diesel and the oil crisis that we're experiencing. Right. Let's talk about the oil crisis and the diesel. There's an update about the diesel, correct?
Right. Well, first of all, Biden today threatened oil companies with higher tax if they don't increase their production.
He's threatening them.
Yes. It says on Monday he warned them.
So he shut them down, and now he's threatening them for not producing it. Look, correct. So like he's putting blame on them and not taking responsibility for himself once again.
Yep, he warned them today that they're facing a higher tax on excess profits if they don't reinvest in increasing production to bring down prices at the pump. He says they have a responsibility to act in the interest of their consumers, their community, and their country to invest in America by increasing production and refining capacity. I'm sitting here thinking, speak for yourself, Biden. You don't do that. He's not investing in America oil production.
Not at all.
At all. I mean, he shut it down.
He shut down the XL pipeline. He stopped offshore drilling. He stopped drilling on federal lands. You know, he's done so much damage to America. He wants to sue the companies
tax to raise them.
What's the difference? Right. I mean, it's kind of like a tax. He's putting sanctions on these oil companies. What he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Think about it.
Control yourself. He said, if you don't, they are going to pay a higher tax on their excess profits and face other restrictions.
Sanctions. It sounds like he's wanting to put sanctions on these oil companies here in the United States of America. So now he's putting sanctions on American-based businesses because they're not doing what he wants them to do.
Yeah. And he didn't even do it. He's not.
No, he didn't. He caused the problem. Right. And he wants to put blame on them. And you need to fix this. Like he's going to put his foot down.
Yeah. Biden can't unilaterally impose a tax on companies. So when he says that, it's really just him talking. He said, but he would have to basically pass a law through Congress, and he pledged to work with them on legislature.
So how many Republicans are going to do it? Right. They get the House and the Senate. How many Republicans are going to go along with it?
I don't know. But anyways, there's another.
Liz Cheney's not going to be there. She's out.
Right.
Adam Kissinger, he's out. Right. Well, so what's going to? Did you just tell me to calm down?
Yeah, calm. I said yeah.
calm down.
Because you didn't let me finish. He cuts me off all the time. But listen, diesel market is here. The diesel market to stay tight until winter. That's what the Chevron chairman is saying right now. He said markets are tight right now, diesel in particular, as we've seen here recently, and likely to stay that way through the winter, he thinks. He says, now, there's two reasons why he says the market has gone up. He said two reasons caused the tight diesel market. Consumers chose to travel less for shopping, so they're getting things shipped to them. It says a lot of people got priced out of gasoline, or they are not driving as much because it's more expensive, but they still need to get goods. And instead of going to the grocery stores to buy things, they are getting them delivered. That increases demand for diesel.
So what about them running out is the problem?
Right.
Right.
Well, he said, Right. I'm sorry. That's the other thing. It says, meanwhile, the refining capacity for distilled, including diesel, jet fuel, kerosene, heating oil, and fuel for ships is dropping because more refineries are closing. Right. And we know why some refineries are closing. One, because Biden and them.
Yep. The Biden administration, they restrictions, policies.
And banks aren't funding them.
Yeah, and
you know, we talked about that story about
the United Nations and the banks working together and not funding
fossil fuels
and agriculture to shut down a country.
Right. So a lot of them just don't have the capacity anymore. It says oil companies are investing more in biodiesel refining and reassigning their diesel refining capacities. Why? Because of the Biden administration wants to go more green. They have this whole new cleaner. Even though we do produce oil cleaner than any other country in the world, they want us to be, you know, solar power, wind power,
water power.
It's great. It's so annoying to me how he sits there and he talks about them caring about the country and them caring about people when he himself hasn't cared about the people or the country.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got another caller here. Let's take the call. Last four is 9267. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, it's Greg. Will, how you been?
Greg, what's going on, Greg? Where are you calling from?
30 miles south of Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, nice, nice. What you got, Greg?
Oh, I don't really have nothing. I'm really on board with everything you said. I've been watching you for a long time, and you're right on it, buddy, every time. And I think there's a lot of guys out here like me that understand everything that's going on. We just sit here and feel like our hands are tied. You know, ain't much we can do.
Yeah, you know what? I completely understand, and that's why I voice it. And that's where I say something. And so many people saying, he's saying what I'm thinking. He's saying what I'm seeing. And there's so many people that way. And there's millions of us. Right. It's just a lot of us don't have a voice and a lot of us don't say anything. But there's millions of us.
I know it. I can't believe they pulled all this off. I can't believe somebody ain't went to jail. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, no one's gone to jail because the corruption in the FBI, the DOJ, that's the reason why. And I'm hoping that when the Republicans get into the House and the Senate, that they will actually get a backbone, a spine, and put the foot down and find out what happened, what truly happened.
I don't know if the people are aware of all this yet, but corn's about $6, $6.80 to $8 a bushel now. And man, that trickles down next year. It's gonna hurt bad.
Yep, you know what?
Cattle market. I watch a lot of cattle people, and these cattle out west are just going completely nuts out of sight.
Yeah, you know what? I've talked to some people. Actually, I didn't talk to some people. I've seen some reports where they're talking about this time next year, getting close to the summer and the end of next year, the food crisis. Everything is going to be so much worse. It's going to be probably like third world. And I hope it doesn't happen, but man, if we keep going in this route, it's going to end up that way.
Right. Yeah. So keep up the good work, buddy. I'm not going to hold you up. None. I've got nothing new for anybody because you've already touched bases on everything that's out there to talk about, and you just keep going. Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, sir.
I'm on your side.
Yep. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Right. Yep. Thank you for the call as well. Take care.
Okay. Well, I just want to talk about one more thing.
Okay.
And this is a story on the Hill, and it says GOP is bracing for Trump indictment soon after election day. Yeah, wow. It says Republican aides and strategists privately expect Attorney General Garland to pursue an indictment of former President Trump within 60 to 90 days after the election, predicting the window for prosecuting Trump will close once the 2020 presidential
the
campaign
2022
begins. No, 2024.
Okay, once 2024. You said 2020. Running,
they
okay.
can't go after him anymore.
Right.
Because
he's a candidate. Right.
Right. Right. So they want to get him before he announces he's running. They want to indict him. And they're just saying there's no one that's saying this is happening. They're just watching Garland and some of the buzz that's happening around in Capitol Hill.
They have to do everything they can to prevent Trump from coming back. They're going to try to do everything.
Yeah, we've said this
before. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, just the fact that they're feeling that and they're starting to warn people that this could be happening, they're afraid that it would also further polarize the nation and likely strengthen Trump's support. But let's see. I mean, I just wanted to put it out there because I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah,
we know they're after him anyways, but for them to actually indict him on something again is, it's so Democrat. You know what I mean?
Democrat. Say
Democrat.
Democrat.
It's such a Democrat move.
That's what they are. They're a bunch of Democrats.
I don't like these people.
Because you know what? Trump is still pulling in these large crowds.
He is.
He's pulling in these humongous crowds. I don't see how
Paul Ryan, who's an idiot, which I know.
Oh, he's a total rhino.
And some of these other people actually have the audacity to come out and say that Trump's following is dwindling. Like he's most Republicans really don't want him. And I'm sitting here going, let's see the crowd that Pence or you draw versus Trump, and let's see the excitement. Is there any excitement for other GOP candidates other than Ron DeSantis? I think there would be, but give me a break. I mean, first and foremost, everybody's like, give Trump one more try.
Yep.
And then we'll go for DeSantis.
Yep. Because
the feeling out there.
Because I want Trump to go back. I want the return of the Jedi.
We'll see.
I want return of the Jedi. And then I want DeSantis and Carrie Lake, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think just them putting that out there, don't you think that would maybe motivate Trump to go ahead and say that he's running?
I mean,
if he said that like right after Election Day, he'd be so mad.
Or if he says it, the same day.
That'd be even more awesome.
All right, I guess he will say maybe.
Especially if we win. If he said it the
ninth.
Day.
If he said it like on the ninth, you know, the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I think they wouldn't even be talking about the election. They'll be talking about Trump announcing, what can we do to stop this? And they would say, we knew that this was going to happen. The mega Republicans, haven't learned anything. I can see them saying all of this. I can see them saying all this nonsense. So, well, hey, everybody, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It is 100% free for you to subscribe. I greatly appreciate it again. And if you can, if you find it in your heart, share this audio podcast with all your friends and your family, at least those that love America. Because, you know, I have family members that, you know, have issues with President Trump in America. We all do somewhere, right? We always had that one cousin. But in this case, we got many of them, sadly. Hey, everybody, thanks again for tuning in. We will be here tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central. God bless, everybody. Take care.